Hey you! Ready to unlock your inner study rock star? We're diving into all those notes and videos you sent, the ones about conquering those classes and acing those exams.
Sounds like fun.
Hi!
This will be a really practical deep dive, I think.
Right. We've got tips from YouTubers, insights from an expert at Kessler Foundation. This is going to be good.
A really practical mix of advice and research, for sure.
So, first up, these YouTubers are all about finding your why. Like, that's the secret sauce, that deep down motivation that keeps you going when things get tough.
Oh, they're on to something there.
Right.
Yeah, think of motivation like the engine of your learning journey. You won't get far without it. We need that reason, to push through those late night study sessions.
Yeah, instead of just vaguely wanting good grades, you need that picture in your mind.
Yeah.
That dream school acceptance letter, that proud moment with your
Now,
family.
absolutely.
Good.
Several YouTubers mentioned working smarter, not harder. And I think that's key here.
Oh, for sure.
Like, don't just grind through every single practice problem. Think like the teacher. Figure out what they care about most.
Right. Some even suggested looking up old exams if you can find them. Obviously, not to cheat, but to get a feel for the teacher's style.
Exactly. Reverse engineering the test. By understanding the types of questions they ask, you can really focus your energy on the stuff that's most likely to be on there.
Talk about strategy. And speaking of strategy, can we talk about flashcards?
Oh, yeah.
These YouTubers are obsessed.
And for good reason. Flashcards are like a secret weapon for something called retrieval practice. It's not just about putting information in your brain, it's about training your brain to pull that information out when you need it.
Oh, that's good.
Like during the exam, right?
Yeah. One YouTuber even suggested making it a group activity. Get your friends together, create flashcards, and quiz each other.
I love that idea. A little friendly competition never hurt anyone. Plus, explaining concepts to someone else is a fantastic way to solidify your own understanding. And you know what else can be surprisingly helpful? A little bit of stress.
Why, really? I thought stress was like the enemy of good studying.
Well, yeah, too much stress is a bad thing. But here's the thing. A little bit of pressure can actually sharpen your focus. Think about it. When you're in a high-stakes situation like an exam, your body kicks into gear, right? Your heart rate might increase a bit, your attention narrows, and that's your body trying to help you perform.
So it's like practicing for the main event. Get those butterflies out of the way beforehand.
Exactly. And a few YouTubers talked about using white noise to help focus, especially in a noisy environment,
Makes sense.
creating a consistent auditory background, that sort of thing, so your brain can tune out distractions.
Oh, and I have to ask about this ugly highlighter method. Have you heard of this one?
Tell me more.
One YouTuber swore by it. So you grab a highlighter you never use, like that neon yellow one that's been sitting at the bottom of your pencil case for years, and you use it to mark down any confusing parts or questions you have as you study.
That's brilliant. It's a simple visual cue, so you don't have to frantically search through your notes later. Love those practical tips.
Me too. But this next one is where things get really interesting, the memory talus. Have you ever heard of this?
Oh, absolutely. It's an ancient memory technique, and it's still incredibly effective. It's like building a mental map.
Okay, so one YouTuber described it as imagining yourself walking through your house, with each room representing a different concept you need to remember. Is that how it works?
Exactly. Our brains are wired to remember places and spatial relationships. So by associating information with familiar locations, we're basically tapping into those existing neural pathways to store and retrieve information more effectively.
That's so cool. Our brains are capable of so much more than we realize. And speaking of brain power, one of your sources from Kessler Foundation talked about neuroplasticity, right?
Yes. Neuroplasticity basically means that our brains are constantly changing and adapting. Every time we learn something new, we're literally rewiring our brains, forming new connections. It's like exercising a muscle. The more you use it, the stronger it gets.
So it's not like we're born with a fixed amount of brain power. We can actually improve our ability to learn.
Absolutely. That's what makes it so empowering. It's never too late to learn something new and reshape our brains.
I love that. So we've talked about the importance of finding your motivation, working strategically, and even hacking our brain's natural abilities with techniques like the memory palace. But what about when it comes to actually putting in the work? These YouTubers had a lot to say about sleep.
As they should. Sleep is not just about resting our bodies, it's crucial for memory consolidation. During sleep, our brains work behind the scenes, processing and storing all that information we've taken in during the day.
So those all-nighters are actually counterproductive.
Exactly. Pulling an all-nighter is like trying to run a marathon without stopping to rest. You might stumble across the finish line, but you'll be exhausted, and you probably won't perform your best. The same goes for our brains. Without enough sleep, we're basically robbing ourselves of the chance to solidify those memories.
That makes a lot of sense. And speaking of pacing ourselves, taking breaks seems to be another big theme.
Absolutely. Our brains aren't designed for sustained periods of intense focus. We need those regular breaks to recharge and process information effectively. It's like trying to drive a car with a sputtering engine. You're not going to get very far. It's like we're hitting the reset button for our brains, giving them a chance to catch up and consolidate all that information.
Exactly. And one YouTuber had a really interesting point about mistakes. They said we should actually embrace them.
It's so true. Mistakes aren't failures. They're valuable feedback. They pinpoint the gaps in our understanding, show us where we need to focus our energy.
One even said that the feeling of anxiety we get when we make a mistake is actually our brain trying to help us improve. It's like our brain is saying, hey, pay attention. This is important. We need to figure this out.
I love that perspective. Instead of getting discouraged by mistakes, we can view them as opportunities for growth. Our brains are wired to learn from errors.
It's making me rethink my whole approach to studying. So we've talked about motivation, smart studying, and even harnessing the power of our brains. But one thing I struggle with is procrastination. Any advice from the YouTubers on that front?
You're in luck. They had a lot to say about procrastination. One technique that came up repeatedly was the Pomodoro technique. Have you heard of it?
I have. It's where you work in focused bursts, usually 25 minutes, followed by a short break.
Exactly. And it's so effective because it breaks down those daunting study sessions into smaller, more manageable chunks. Instead of feeling overwhelmed by the thought of studying for hours, you can tell yourself, I'm just going to focus for 25 minutes and then I get a break.
It feels almost like tricking your brain into being productive.
In a way, yes. And the beauty of the Pomodoro technique is its flexibility. You can adjust the work and break intervals to suit your own preferences and energy levels.
So it's not one size fits all. It's about finding what works best for you.
Exactly. And speaking of finding what works, one of your sources mentioned something called interleaving. You ever tried that?
I've heard of it, but I tend to stick to one subject at a time. Switching gears mid-study session feels a bit jarring to me.
I understand that, but there's evidence suggesting that interleaving, like mixing up different subjects, can actually improve learning and retention.
Really? How so?
It's based on something called contextual interference. Basically, when we switch between subjects, we're creating desirable difficulties for our brains. Our brains have to work a little harder to retrieve information, and that extra effort helps solidify those memories.
So it's like cross-training for our brains.
Exactly. We're building mental agility by forcing our brains to switch between different cognitive tasks. Instead of passively reviewing the same type of information, we're keeping our brains engaged and working harder, which ultimately leads to better learning.
That's fascinating. Is there a specific way to interleave effectively? Like, how many subjects should we be juggling at once?
A good rule of thumb is to start with two or three related subjects and switch between them every 20, 30 minutes. For example, if you're studying history, you could alternate between different time periods or geographical regions every half hour. It's all about creating those mental speed bumps to keep our brains on their toes.
I'm definitely going to have to try that. Okay, one last burning question. Music while studying. Yes or no?
Ah, the eternal debate. And like most things in learning, there's no one-size-fits-all answer. It depends on the individual and the type of music.
One YouTuber mentioned that listening to music with lyrics can actually hinder learning because our brains have to work harder to process both the lyrics and the study material.
That's true. Our brains have limited processing power. Too many competing stimuli can lead to cognitive overload. It's like trying to have a conversation with someone at a noisy concert. You might catch bits and pieces, but you're likely to miss a lot.
So what's the verdict? Should we ditch the tunes altogether?
Not necessarily. While lyrics can be distracting, especially for tasks that require a lot of focus, listening to instrumental music, particularly classical or ambient sounds, can actually enhance learning for some people.
Why is that?
Instrumental music can create a calm and focused environment, blocking out distracting noises. Think of it like a sonic sanctuary for your brain. Plus, certain types of music can induce a state of relaxed alertness, which is ideal for learning.
So it's like finding the perfect balance between focus and relaxation.
Exactly. But it's crucial to remember that not everyone benefits from music while studying. Some people find it incredibly distracting, regardless of the type. The key is to experiment and see what works best for you. pay attention to how your body and brain respond, and adjust your study environment accordingly.
It's all about self-awareness and finding what works best for you.
Precisely.
It's like we're all scientists of our own learning, you know?
Yeah.
Experimenting, figuring out what works.
Exactly. And you know what's been fascinating to me throughout this deep dive?
What's that?
It's how all these tips, I mean, a lot of them are coming from these YouTubers, right? People who've been in the thick of it.
Right, like in the trenches of studying.
They connect to actual neuroscience.
Yeah.
Shows you that understanding how our brains learn can make studying feel less like a chore.
And more like a skill. Something you can actually get better at.
Absolutely. We all have the capacity to learn and grow. It's just about finding, what was it you said?
Finding those methods that, what was it? Resonate. Yeah, resonate with our individual learning styles.
Exactly.
Love it.
This whole deep dive has been so inspiring. I feel like I have a whole new toolkit to tackle my next study session.
That's wonderful to hear. And remember, it's a lifelong journey, this whole learning thing. Don't be afraid to experiment. Find what works for you, and most importantly, enjoy the process. You're expanding your knowledge.
I love it. Until next time, keep those brains buzzing.